Amen. So, Mystery of the Holy Ghost, written by Edmund Anyahamive, continues reading today, chapters 3 to 6. Chapter 3, Ghost of All Ghosts. It is very expensive statement for the Holy Scripture to call a man a child or son or daughter of God. To be called a son of God, one has to become like a little Jesus. No, not the very Jesus Christ, but a replica or a carbon copy of Jesus, just as the angels are. This agrees with the scriptures which say in 1 Peter 2:21, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live, manifesting through my flesh, I am living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Before going further with more scriptures, let this sink into your heart that a transformed human being who has been born of the Spirit is a spirit, though he is still living in his natural fleshly body. The spirit of man is a living ghost, using natural body to be able to live in this terrestrial earth planet. This is why it is said that someone has given up the ghost when he dies. If you are indeed in Christ, you are a ghost still wearing your flesh, because you have put on Christ who has resurrected as a ghost. You are like a ghost in the Holy Ghost. If you are in sin, satanic, you are a ghost of Satan. As soon as you depart from fleshly body by death, you will be separated to where you belong, while the flesh you used for your living will return to the dust and perish. Let this ring bell in your mind daily. Philippians 2:13, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that is as it pleases him. Colossians 1:27, To who God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every Bible believer likes to simply confess that Christ dwells in him. I wish no one should addict himself with such a fascinating imagination that the resurrected Christ lives in him just because he wishes so. That scripture above indicates that it is a mystery, a mysterious thing, that the resurrected ghost of all ghosts should dwell in the spirit of any living soul. He does not dwell in the unsanctified spirit in man. For example, let's read through John 2:23-25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, the believers in his name, because he knew all men, and has no need that any should testify of man, for he knows what is and what was in man. Mankind was naturally born filthy, hence it is written that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again it is written that we were shapen in iniquity, and in sin our mothers conceived us. Satan littered or soiled over 99% of persons that ever came into the earth with unholy practices, which the Lord can never associate with. What do you say of Jesus not committing himself to the multitude who believed in his name, because they saw his miracles? God has provided supernatural detergent in the blood of Jesus Christ to flush off every satanic deposit into human nature. With spots and wrinkles in any life, Christ can be with you and not in you. Life with spots and wrinkles is a misery, but the life of Christ is a mystery. If any man is fully cleansed, his life becomes free to accommodate the mysterious presence of Christ in him. Why should the Lord Jesus Christ choose to stand at the door of the heart knocking according to Revelation 3:20? The answer is clear. He wants you to give up what he cannot cohabit with. Man is not perfectly clean. He is either proud, unloving, self-centered, crafty, deceitful, lustful, ritualistically holy, or robbing God of tithe and offering, hypocritical, or various compromises, etc. Nature of Satan inseminated into man has become the nature of man since the fall into sin from the Garden of Eden. You have need of divine nature from God where Christ may conveniently dwell to bring in the hope of glory. The divine nature, as recorded in 2 Peter 1:4, is the very nature of God to replace Satan's nature in men. Man was not supposed to be acting differently from the angelic lifestyle, if not for the poison of the dragon's nature is swallowed through sin. The satanic nature of the dragon is disobedient to God, having successfully planted disobedience in man to eat of the forbidden fruit, man was defiled. Amen. Chapter 4. Heading, Let Us Make Man. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, that is to look like us, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God only created man in his own image, which is Christ the Lord. Ephesians 2:10. In the only one image of God, he created him, he created them male and female. Analysis. To love teaching people of God from the Holy Bible is a very good seed to reduce the increased number of growing wickedness on earth. However, note that the book containing the Holy Scriptures is titled the Holy Bible. It is holy because God, whose name is holy, dictated the Holy Scriptures contained in it. The Lord Jesus has said categorically that the Scriptures cannot be broken in John 10:35. 100% devotion to Bible reading and studies can never reveal God to anyone. Remember, please, that Satan knows the words of God more than any man that lives upon the earth. But he is still Satan, the devil, the archenemy of God Almighty. Knowing the words of God made no changes in him. With the help of Satan, many lovers of Bible teaching have grown into the pride of knowledge and become entirely unteachable. This is a serious eternal damage, to teach the words of God to fellow souls. Firstly, you must be taught of God, in bracket, John 6:45 and Isaiah 54:13. Secondly, you must know that God is a spirit, and to understand the kind of spirit he is, Isaiah, in bracket, Isaiah 41:4, Deuteronomy 29:29, and 32:39, 4:2, and Revelation 22:18-19, and Proverbs 30:6. Thirdly, you must be born again by the Spirit, and in brackets, John 3:3, 6:1, 12, and 13, Galatians 6:15, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 2 Timothy 1:9, 1 Peter 1:23, 1 John 3:9. No man can be justified by either adding or subtracting from God what God says. Hence, only few shall be saved, as the Lord says. Any slight negligence to any of those three necessities will be definitely misled the cumbersome Bible teacher and followers. God's words are not adjustable. Listen now to the Spirit. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." The "us" and "our," as you see highlighted, did not multiply God. God is an unchangeable changer, that is, he is a multiplier that cannot be multiplied. He is the invisible God of foreknowledge who programmed himself and came into the world by his image, the Lord Jesus, which is his body. The Bible book of Revelation 13 verse 15 reveals that the dragon, which was created by God, was able to make the image of the beast to speak in order to deceive the world. How much more would the Almighty God be more than able to empower his own image to save the deceived world? God did not speak to another second person or another God to join him to create man. God rather spoke to himself. You may say, how was that? Can I ask if you have forgotten that God is mysterious and wonderful? Have you forgotten that with God nothing is impossible? Listen, my good friend, you do speak to your body or image too. Do you want to know how you speak or command your own body? Now let's revisit how man was created and formed. Genesis 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man's body, of the dust of the ground, and breath is his spirit created in the image of God. Into his nostrils, formed out of the dust of the ground, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Heading, analysis. The breath of life which came out from the image of immortal body of God, where he created the spirit of man, passed through the nostrils of the Lord into the nostrils he formed for man from the ground. That was how the spirit of the first Adam entered into the natural sandy body formed or built for him. That is why Luke 3:38 identifies Adam as the son born by God. That is how we are. We are spirits, created in the image of the supernatural invisible God. We humans bear the image of dust which became flesh. When man's body dies, read the following scripture. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth, ground, as it was before it was used to form the mortal body. And the spirit which was created in Christ, the image of the invisible God, shall return to God who gave it. We were created in Christ Jesus. In bracket Ephesians 2:10. We, the spirit beings living in our mortal bodies, command our bodies to do what they do, whether good or evil. It is we, the spirits in the body, that use the body to either fight, lie, steal, cheat, kill, fornicate, or not, etc. On the judgment day of God, the body or flesh shall not be judged or condemned. It is we, the spirits, who lived and used the body for either good or bad, shall be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear immortal before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive reward of things done in his body according to the things he had used his body to do, whether it be good or bad. The rich man, according to St. Luke 16:23-24, suffered the penalty of all he used his body to do on earth after he had separated his body to the dust and went to the flaming hell. The whole episode began from verses 19-31. It is we that send our body to do what they do, as Satan or dragon uses image of the beast, Revelation 13:15. We can send our body to the toilet, bathroom, school, stay in, stay out, wait or not. Also, make no mistake to think that Satan does not live together with religious or non-religious persons in the same body as you choose. As we use our body or image even more so, God uses his own image, Christ, to reach and touch the whole world. As God is invisible, but could only be seen through Jesus, his manifestation, or theophany, even so, we as spirits living in mortal bodies are invisible, but could only be seen through our bodies manifesting our invisible spirit, which is within our body. What a man concludes on the inside of him is what he manifests outwardly. Thinking of God through our myopic mortal mentality or idea will end up being confused to see God as Trinity. This they mean to be three persons. They also call him Triune. If God is three persons, there must be three bodies or images or heads, and none of such is in the sacred scriptures. It is rather written that there is only one God, one spirit and body. The God who is the spirit is having only one body, in bracket Ephesians 4:4-6. God is not a demon, please. He made us like his own self, that is after our likeness, as written in Genesis 1:26. No great false prophet had been heard to say. He saw written in the Bible that the Father and the Son were speaking two voices at the same time or conversing. It is either God is speaking as Lord and Father or the Son, John 1:1-3, 9, 10, 14, may guide you to the true story of one God. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we do much more. New heading, the life in the mortal. The life in us is the spirit the Lord God breathed out of his theophany image, as it were, by travail. Through his nostrils, into our nostrils, it is written in John 1:4 and 1-3, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. We came out of life. That is why we are accountable to that life, the source of our origin. I am sure you may not deny that the Lord is speaking to you directly. The Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. He also said so in John 14:6. And in the same John 8:12, if you are his follower, you shall have the light of life. Heading, Our Lord's Prayer. Three functional, one in one. Let them be one in us, in bracket John 17:21. God used the word as that man's level of knowledge may understand. It is like 1 John 5:7 and verse 8, is for man to understand verse 7. God is three function, not triune. Study the whole Bible and see if God and Jesus are heard to be discussing it, one with his own voice of opinions. Wouldn't that be voices? But there are no two voices in God. God and Christ Jesus have only one voice. Heading, Composition of the Holy Ghost. God is a spirit, John 4:24. Now the Lord Jesus is that spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18. God is the Almighty, Exodus 6:3. Christ Jesus is the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. God is our everlasting Father, Matthew 23:9. Jesus Christ is our everlasting Father, John 14:8-9 and Isaiah 9:6. Jesus is the Lord, John 13:13. Godhead, three functional, Colossians 2:9, not heads. God is the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ is the beginning and end, Revelation 22:13. God is the first and last, Isaiah 41:4. Christ is the first and last, Revelation 1:11. Christ is the light, John 1:9. God is the light, Psalm 27:1. God is the creator, Genesis 1:1. Christ is the creator, Colossians 1:16. God fills heaven and earth, Jeremiah 23:24. Christ fills all in all, Ephesians 4:10. God walks all in all, 1 Corinthians 12:6. The Christ we know as man on earth declared his true person when he returned to heaven. Most of the things he said in heaven, he wouldn't say so when he was on earth, because no man will believe him as he looks as their fellow man. Only once he said, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones against him. In bracket, John 8:58 and 59. Amen. Chapter 5. Heading, the name of God. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Psalm 111 verse 9. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Have you ever imagined why people title themselves reverence, the very name of God? It appears just once in entire Bible. Who then introduced this idea? Who divinely authenticated it for man to use it as title? Whereas the name of God Almighty appears as holy, there are other epithets pointing to his name as proper nouns as well. They are: 1. I am that I am. 2. The Lord. 3. The first and last. 4. Alpha and Omega. 5. The Almighty. 6. Most High. There could be others like Everlasting Father, etc., but let's discreetly peruse into holy due to its involvement in this context. In a bid to associate holy and ghost in agreement as one name, we think of driving or navigating through the axis of geometry in order to see how two parallel lines may agree as one. Heading, Ghost. We had already seen that holy featured severally as adjective and finally came up as a proper noun for the name of the Lord, whereas holy comes with ghost as the spirit of the Lord. Why the ghost? Heading, What is ghost? What is a ghost? Ghost is the manifestation of a person who was known to have died and buried. This is different from seeing a suspected spirit flash across the eyes in a second. The full example of the biblical ghost is found in various scriptures. In the process, we shall be reviewing the everlasting ghost body. The word ghost should not sound too strange to us, even if it is not a commonly used word on daily basis. Every one of us is a spirit besides the flesh we wear as body. The spirit which we are is a ghost that we must give up to God same day. Ecclesiastes 12:7 details how the spirit is separated from the body. The spirit being the ghost itself returns to God, out of whom proceeded the ultimate Holy Ghost. Then the body being dust shall return to the earth as it was. Amen. Chapter 6. Heading: New Testament Holy Ghost. The ghost we are reading below is the Holy. Let's go. Saint Luke 24:1-7. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the buried body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two angels or men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they, the angels, said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise again on the third day. Heading: Analysis. The angels who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus the Lord into immortality were bear witness. By the resurrection of the Holy Lord Jesus, he had become a ghost if he ever manifest to human sight to be seen again. Now let's proceed. Luke 24:13-17, 24-31. And lo, and behold, two of his disciples went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 60 furlongs from Jerusalem. And it came to pass that while they talked with each other and reasoned together, Jesus, the ghost, himself, drew near and went with them. And he said to them, What manner of communications are these that you are discussing among yourselves as you walk looking sad? And certain of them who are of our brethren went to the sepulchre and found exactly even as the women had reported, that he is risen. But they did not see him. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken. And they drew near to the village where they were going to, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him to abide with them, for it was evening, and he went in to be with them. And it came to pass, as he sat down to have meal with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Heading: Analysis. All the accounts we have been reading from St. Luke, chapter 24, are pointing to the resurrected Holy Jesus as the New Testament ghost. He is now a ghost because he was dead, resurrected, and manifested to people. This ghost is a spirit with immortal body. And this body is what the scriptures call his church. Please read the following. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord Jesus is that spirit, Holy Ghost, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty means freedom. Jesus the Lord says in John's Gospel 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free, be in liberty indeed. St. Luke 24, verses 33, 34, 36-37. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and had appeared to Simon, in bracket 1 Corinthians 15:5. And as they were speaking, Jesus, the ghost, himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be to you. Being a ghost, they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen just a mere spirit. Analysis. You must remark that the disciples of Jesus were not used to be affrighted of him before he became a ghost. Remember that at the Last Supper, John laid on his chest. Jesus himself was not used to entering into the house with doors and windows shut. Being now the Holy Ghost, he can meet you in the closet and deliver you. The Holy Jesus now, having become the New Testament ghost, is presently the third function of the Godhead. In bracket, Colossians 2:9. As you read this book with free mind and free heart, the Lord will be driving your mind to review Trinity, that is three persons as God, and three functionality of the only one monotheistic living God. This mystery is far beyond organic chemistry. St. Luke 24:38-39. And he said to them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a mere spirit has no flesh and bone as you see me have. Analysis. Every communication from St. Luke book, chapter 24, between Christ and his disciples was a ghost. That is immortality communicating with mortality. To find out if the above statement was so, read the following and see more. How the immortal resurrected ghost was discussing freely with mortal men. Acts 1 verses 1 to 2. The former treatise have I made of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Heading analysis. The Lord appeared not less than three times to his disciples after his resurrection. At his last appearance, he led his disciples immortally towards Mount Olivet, from where he finally took off to heaven. He admonished them with reminder to the rules he laid down for them to follow. Why was it that through the Holy Ghost he gave them commandments, while the Holy Ghost, as we know, had not yet come? Don't you yet see what it means? That identical Pentecost day had not yet come. Read again Acts 1 verse 2. Acts 1 verse 2. The above scripture definitely points to the resurrected Jesus as the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles. If you are yet to understand this, you still have an opportunity for another scripture shortly. However, Acts 1:2 shows that Jesus, the Holy Resurrected Ghost, gave commandments to his apostles through the Holy Ghost image of body. Through his ghost image, he gave commandments. This was different from the commandments he gave before he manifested as the ghost after resurrection. His ghost is the Holy Ghost. His ghost is the Holy Ghost. Christ is all about God. He is in the Father and the Father in him. He is the everlasting Father, in bracket Isaiah 9:6. There are no two everlasting fathers, Isaiah 9:6. The history of God is that Christ is the holiest of all. As fully analyzed in Hebrews 9:1-3 and verses 4-28. Christ is all things of doctrine to the church. Christ was the Spirit in the prophets of old, in bracket 1 Peter 1:9-11. He has always been the Spirit. He was and is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, in bracket Matthew 3:11. Luke 12:50. When John the Baptist said by the Spirit that God did not give Jesus the Spirit by measure, this meaning he is the whole Spirit, John 3:34. My beloved people of God, God is all mystery that the scientists and philosophers of all generations have never understood to analyze. The following scripture may bless you forever, in bracket John 14:16-18. In the next chapter, 7 in those scriptures, Jesus Christ points to himself as the oncoming comforter, even the Holy Ghost. John 20:22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Note that he never said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Why? The Holy is the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Holy. Amen. And next time is then from chapter 7 onwards.